Hello and welcome to another surrealist episode of Dave Wright's podcast. I am your host, Dave Wright. Each week here, I like to share one of my short stories and then the next chapter from an ongoing novel of mine. As usual, if you'd like to know more about this week's story, then stick around at the end. For now, let's get into it. This week's episode is called The Colony. The colony was in danger. The silos, the living historians of the colony, had memories spanning generations. They knew of the good times, when we found that entire foreleg and had it to ourselves, to the lean times, when the foragers had to push further and further from the colony to secure nutrition. Then there were the dark times, when the fire colony attacked and managed to strike deep into the heart of the colony, when the queen herself was forced into battle. The tales the silos tell of the dark times were to ensure we were ever vigilant against threat. I could tell from the smell that our forager trains had never ventured this far even during the lean times. I pushed on, feeling the weight of the train, of the thundering, uncountable legs following my scent marks as I strove deeper and deeper into the unknown, looking for nutrition. We could not return empty on this run. We could not face the silos if we returned again empty-mouthed. We could not watch them again, regurgitating what meager stores they had left in their bodies to keep the little ones growing. The colony needed us, the queen needed us, to return with bellies and mouths fit to burst. We had to. The silos did not speak of the troubles we were in, however, just looking at what their usual plump forms had become, almost as thin as the workers who protected them. The queen herself was refusing sustenance, emitting the scent of being well fed. We knew this was a lie. I pushed on, navigating the strands of green that were fighting for their own life as they were growing in the uniform valleys on this hard surface. I tried to not shudder as the scent given off by these withered green stalks were embedded in the colony's memory. A forager party had returned many light cycles ago, proud of their triumph. They had found green stalks like these before. We have eaten them before when times were lean. They were given to some of the silos for poison testing, more as habit than worry. We lost many silos that day. These stalks were different. Something had been applied to them, something that had stunted their growth and slowly killed them, like it had killed us. For what purpose, we could only guess. I led the train onward through the uniform valleys in this hard land, my antennae twitching as I strained to pick up the scent of untouched nutrition. There was a horrific sound, an unnatural grinding, a massive booming filled the air, as if sound was being used to communicate. A mighty gust of wind. It brought with it a myriad of smells. Nutrition. I knew that leading the train towards whatever monster was the cause of this was suicide. But so was returning empty-mouthed. I picked up the pace, forcing the train onward, towards that nightmarish sound. I almost ran into a cliff. It smelt of nothing. It was made of the same material as the surface we had been crossing. It should be easy enough to scale, and the smell, those smells. It would be worth it. The whole train flinched as one when that unnatural grinding sound rang out again. As it faded away, I realized with horror the smells were disappearing. Whatever that sound had heralded might now be out of our grasp. I rushed up the cliff, then another and another, and then I stopped. The train stopped. What was this? It was hard, impenetrable, and yet I could perceive right through it. It smelt of nothing, tasted of nothing, and yet it had stopped me in my tracks. If I strained my antennae, I could just catch the occasional whiff of endless nutrition behind this barrier. What was this torment, this nightmare? What could I do? I had to report this to the Queen and hope that the silos had some knowledge to save us. I emitted the command to turn around and return to the colony and tried to ignore the feeling of failure crushing my empty body. I omitted what we had encountered and tried to not omit how nervous I was. The Queen, the silos, they were milling around and smelling my report. None of the other trains had returned with nutrition again. There was some fighting going on between the silos. I was trying to follow the scents, however they were too fast, too smart. I could only understand a few. The gust we found did exist in the colony's memory, but it seemed that the trains that had investigated the gusts were all slaughtered, not by other ants or monsters. By God. They were arguing if it was worth the risk of angering the god to try for the forbidden nutrition that the gust promised. I watched the silos and could see the depleted supplies we had. I was but a forager, but I knew we had little choice. Everything stopped. No one should use sound in the presence of the Queen. One of the older silos managed his way forward, unsteady on his remaining legs. He had been allowed to live even with the loss of his limbs, as he was the smartest of all the silos, also the most insane. In the past, during the good times, he had his own forages, not for nutrition, for something called wisdom.
"My queen,"
he emitted.
"We all know how dire the colony is, how we have survived so many light cycles with the trains returning empty-mouthed. Myself am almost completely used up for the colony. We need that nutrition."
The scent started up immediately, some decrying his use of sound, others saying he was just restating facts. A smaller group were demanding that he should already give up his life for the colony. He continued unhindered, his scents drowning out the others.
"We have lost every train we have ever sent to the gusts. This we know. We also know that it was because of the god. That is why, my queen, I ask for 2 trains to be removed from foraging and given over to me."
There was a brief pause before absolute bedlam. Everyone was pumping out scents at whatever volume they could muster. A few of the warriors briefly checked in to ensure the queen was untouched. She sat there pulsing in thought. I thought that the silos would tire themselves out, but the tension of the colony was at breaking point. I watched the queen. She needed to do something before the silos tore each other apart. The queen's scent rolled over everyone as a comforting wave. Sound stopped, movement stopped, as everyone was cocooned in the blissful memory of being selected by the queen. Her scent filled the entire cavern. There was nothing but the queen. As it slowly dissipated, she motioned to the crazy silo.
"What will you achieve if I grant you the 2 trains you request?"
I could feel the gratitude start to pour out of him.
"I will teach them this."
He drew 2 of his legs back and painfully rubbed them on his body, producing the sound. He then rubbed his front legs across each other, which sounded higher pitched. After that, he scrubbed his feet together. The sound slowly died away. He was insane. He had to be. The queen slowly unfolded herself, the anger simmering off her body, mostly masking the confusion she was also emitting.
"And what good will that do?"
"With this..."
The old silo was almost dancing in place on his remaining legs.
"We will communicate with God."
I loved Saturdays. After a hard week, it was the day I kicked back and allowed myself to completely relax. It was helped by my now tradition of rolling out of bed and smashing a cone. The weed set the mood for the day. I might get some gaming done, maybe watch something. It didn't matter, everything was good with the world now. Plating up my breakfast burrito, I figured I could go and watch something while I enjoyed this. I probably should have made it before I got stoned, because it was a massive thing with meat and cheese leaking everywhere. Opening up the sliding glass door near the kitchen to let some air in, I paused to look out at the day. It was going to be a great one, not a cloud in the sky. Maybe I could roll a joint and go for a walk down by the river. And then I heard it. It sounded like a tracheotomy patient who still smokes a pack a day through the hole trying to talk. It's my backyard. There was no one there. I looked down. There, a massive circle of ants. The sound was coming from them. My brain took a moment to catch up. I knew ants could work together, but could they make sounds? What the fuck was going on? Also, why did it sound like they were chanting Chris? That's my name. Was this a prank? Had someone spiked my weed with... I couldn't think of anything that would make me hallucinate a circle of ants trying to chant my name. I was just beginning to convince myself that this was a dream and that I would wake up for a proper Saturday morning in a moment when the sound stopped. It changed. It was no longer that tracky patient sound. It was as if hundreds of ants were exhaling and then stomping their feet as one, over and over. Wait, were they? No way. They kept going. My brain was a mess. This was insane. Was there seriously a bunch of ants down there trying to say, food? I looked at my burrito and then back at the ants. I mean, they were ants. God knows I had killed many in my time. They got everywhere. Were they actually chanting at me? This couldn't be happening. Feeling like I was going crazy, I stepped forwards. The chanting stopped. I slowly lowered the plate with my burrito on it to the center of the circle. I straightened up, feeling like a lunatic. I slowly stepped back. There was one final... and then hundreds of ants swarmed my burrito. I needed to go lie down. That was The Colony. I thought it was time for a more lighthearted story. It was incredibly fun writing this one. I had the vague idea in my head. I got it from a meme that was sent to me by a friend and it got lodged in there, refusing to budge until I got it out onto paper. I'll link the meme on my website and show notes. Researching ants to make sure I was being as literal and correct as I could be without sacrificing the fun was super interesting. Learning about the silo ants, which are basically the living memory storage mechanisms of some colonies, having special worker caste ants whose bodies can distend, allowing them to be living food storage devices. Also, of the great ant war that is formed by a super colony of ants that spreads across the US and has footholds in England, Europe, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand, where a rival colony has schismed off near San Diego, forming a battlefront of miles that claims tens of millions of ant lives each year. All these ideas were poured into the short story and gave me flavor for The Colony, allowing me to channel the frustration and feelings of responsibility of the forager trains. It allowed me to anthropomorphize them as discrete characters instead of just generic ants. So I took the idea of ants being able to chant your name, of them trying to summon what they have to think of as some sort of terrible and all-powerful god. But to what end? Why would they risk it? It would have to be the end of the colony for them to risk it. They would use what resources they have on hand to achieve this end, praying to this world-ending entity for sustenance, to allow the colony to keep living, a seemingly impossible task. Of course, the person they have summoned couldn't freak out. I wanted it to be fun and lighthearted. I wanted the ants to succeed. So the idea of my stoner days, of someone who has smashed a wake and bake, they're not going to lose it over this, and it will just be a fun story to tell, and no one will believe you. But on that day, you saved that colony with your burrito and were hailed as a loving god. I also used one of my friends as the main character. For some reason, I could totally see him as the type of guy that when faced with this bizarre situation, just taking it in stride. He helped the little guys. Why does he need to get worked up? Even in my silly stories, I know it's the themes at the core that allows me to accept the story. The suspension of disbelief and going along for the ride. To that end, the themes of responsibility, not wanting to let your team down, of being against the wall with only one insane option left. It was easy to drive that home and use that as the leverage for the craziness of ants forming a summoning circle for our stoner god. This was another one with a perspective shift. I wanted to make it as clear as possible, so there is a lot of I and me in the first few sentences of the shift to distance it subconsciously from the ants' group-based thoughts. I hope it worked. Well, that's all for this week. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out to me. As for next week, strap in as we are going back into Sad Town. Don't forget, I have a Patreon up if you want to throw some support my way. You can find the details on my website, davewrights.com. That's davewrights.com. Hopefully, I'll see you all next week. Take care.